this content factory we call the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ryan Leaf.
Can't tell you enough how much I love your show.
Live.
Boom, boom.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, NFL Network analytics expert Cynthia Freeland, Basketball Hall of Famer James Worthy, ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler, plus actor Kevin Connolly. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I am Ryan Leaf, guest hosting for the second time this week. Wow, huge, huge, huge. For the man, Rich Eisen, who's off skiing in the snow, I believe, right now. As always, TJ Jefferson over here to my right.
I love the way you go.
Yeah, no, people commented on it. People commented on it. Yeah, yeah. He does go right to left. Yeah, you know, that's just how I quarterbacked too, right? Go right to left. That's how I did my reads. All right. Going through my progression. To Mike Del Tufo on the ones and twos.
What's happening, Ryan?
And Mr. Chris Brockman there at... Picking up the hot corner at third base there for us.
So, Ryan, what you say is you look at your first read, your most important receiver first, and then
That's not always the case. You're just the first read.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
right? The most important could be the deep post by the third guy in the route, which could be Chris Brockman. It depends on what the play call is. Okay?
Let's just say we're running a slant.
Well, how many slants? Is everybody running slants, or slants? Or
I just want to be the first one to get the look.
You're looking at this all wrong. You're the leading batter. He's cleanup.
Now you're mixing metaphors. Yeah, we're talking football, baseball.
So I'm number three. I'd have no problem. I'm the heavy hitter. I get it. I'm kind of the biggest guy.
Am I one? I'm at a leadoff?
Is that right, what I am? Leadoff. So he's spatter too. So
okay.
I'm like, yeah,
and he's cleanup.
Cleanup. We're good.
Mike, I like it better when you don't talk.
I'm Ricky Henderson.
I can be Ricky Henderson. Shut my mouth. Sorry, you guys.
Great show today. Wow. Ben Nygaard, our really good talent booker.
What up, Ben?
I put him on the bench. I said, hey. I got this, all right?
Take the day off.
Go surfing. Do something, you know? I know he's on the East Coast, I think, so that might not be possible. But from the NFL Network, Cynthia Freeland, she's the data analysis and analytics like guru. She's awesome. She'll talk circles around us in terms of football. Big game James Worthy, Hall of Fame basketball player. This was a coup, right? So, you know, after the turn yesterday playing golf, rolled up here, big game. James rolls up behind me in the cart, says, RL, what's he doing? I said, dude, can you come on the Eisen Show tomorrow and talk this Lakers nonsense? He's like, for you, buddy, anything. He's also my muse. I'm sure he'll bring this up, but my best two rounds of golf have been with James this summer.
I mean, we got to throw out some numbers? You can't just tease that. Yeah. I mean,
you could tell us anything.
68-70, the two. So. Tim Legler from ESPN NBA analyst, going to talk all things trade deadline. That all went through yesterday, as well as, you know, after talking to James, I'm sure he'll have something to fill us in with the Lakers, who got, you know, steamrolled last night by the Sixers. Four losses without LeBron now. And then my buddy, Kevin Connolly, is going to join us from Entourage fame, but more realistically, from Rocky V fame. That's the one that everybody's got to remember from his time from Rocky
V. Wait, he's in Rocky V?
Oh, yeah.
For real?
I think he's the bully, right?
He's one of the kids that Rocky interacts with during the movie. And
no, he's one of the kids that, like bullies Rocky Jr.
Yeah, I'm saying there's, like, a group of kids, right. And he's one of the...
And then he ends up becoming Rocky Jr.'s buddy at the end of the show.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think that's probably more... But he is now owner and proprietor of a podcast networking company called Action Park Media. They do an amazing podcast called The Victory Podcast. It's Doug Ellen, the creator of Entourage, and Kevin Dillon, and Kevin Connolly produces that. They had Charlie Sheen on this week. It's a neat show. They have a lot of fun doing it. So I'm excited. Today's show is big. Lot of feedback from Wednesday's show. Here are a few of the highlights. Everybody asked, where the hell did Ryan Leaf go? Because 75 pounds of me disappeared. So everybody's asking where that happened, right? So I had to explain to them that. Also, an interesting fact, and something I hope we get into later a little bit, is that people started saying this when I called games for ESPN the last few years. And it was that this dude sounds just like Will Ferrell. And I don't hear it. Now, and most people who are close to me don't hear it. But, Mike, you turned your back today when we got here and had me just speak. And you said, yeah.
I started getting it.
Is it the Ron Burgundy or is it Will Ferrell? So
yeah, Mike, is it a character or is it like...
Or is it Will?
Will the guy.
It's Will.
It's Will.
It's just Will. I kind of turned around.
Well, we have some archival stuff we'll probably get to a little bit later and we can kind of make a comparison. We'll see. I've always said, Will, anytime I host the Rich Eisen Show, you are welcome to come sit in this chair and when we can do, you know, a blind taste test for the audience.
That would be...
He is a Pac-12 guy, a USC guy along with me. Sure. So, you know, we could have something in common. I have gone as Ron Burgundy multiple times at Halloween, so you know, I have a library full of rich mahogany and many leather-bound books.
Are you friends with Merlin Olsen?
And I'm friends with Merlin Olsen.
That's amazing.
So I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm looking at you.
People know me.
People know me.
You know, I wanna be on you. I wanna be on you. Okay. So those were a couple comments. The other one was people were fascinated with the Heisman Trophy story I told about my dad. That was cool. And it got my dad and my uncle to watch the show on Peacock TV and then text me that night like, oh, and they flat out told me some more stories.
Was there anything that maybe they corrected you on what actually happened that night?
Let's look here.
Or did they fill in some holes that you might have missed? Like... What was the response from your dad and your uncle?
Well, you know, they said Mike Rozier was at the forefront. And then my dad said this one. He said, all he really remembers is when Hopalong Cassidy got up and sang a different version of the Michigan fight song to the Michigan AD, who was there at the time.
What?
Hopalong Cassidy, are you kidding me? That's my dad's, like, that's my dad's hero. So the names that my dad brought up, and he said it was fun to hear that story again that many years later. And then I was talking to my brother about it because, you know, I said my dad would have been 47 then, and I'll be 45 next week or next month. And I'm going to be an old dad, guys. People are going to think I'm a grandpa probably when my kids graduate from high school because I got a 3 of you two.
Yeah, I'm going to be an old dad.
We're going to be old dads.
Yeah, I'm 40 and I have a 1-year-old.
Yeah, I'm 45 and I have a 3.5-year-old. So... My dad was 47 and he had a 21-year-old and he was at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And I'd be like, Pops, if MacGyver Leaf is rocking the Heisman Trophy ceremony when I'm 60-something, I'm going to party like you did. I am. I'm going to party like you did. That was fun. My little brother Brady got told to go home. He called me and told me a story about how he got told to go home earlier than he wanted to, but he was 13 at the time, so that makes sense.
Was he like cutting it up with Eli Manning? Is that, that's kind of what you said too? They were sitting next.
Well,
to
they
each
sat
other?
Next to each other. I don't know if they. I mean, Brady went down and has done the Manning Passing Academy in Louisiana when he was at Oregon, so I'm sure they've continued that relationship.
Great.
And Peyton and the relationship Peyton and I have, like, I'm like, I want to play in that golf tournament. You know, I'm going to play in one of those celebrity golf
absolutely.
Thing up against him. And
well, you talked trash yesterday saying that you would mop the course.
I didn't say
Peyton,
I'd mop the course with him. I said I'd beat him. I'm sticking to that.
Just trying to stir it up.
Sticking
Peyton.
To that. I also probably think we have a closer relationship than what really is, you know? Like, when I text him, I'll get a text back every 4 or 5 texts.
Okay.
So it's that kind of relationship. But lately it's been good. When he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I texted him and said, congratulations. Thanks, pal. I wished him happy birthday after you told me it was the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a thanks.
Is he an emoji guy?
There has been an emoji from time to time. But mostly just a thanks.
That's nice.
Hey, pal. I like that.
Appreciate it.
You know, I like that. Wednesday show with Jim Irsay. Wow. That was set up by Rich Eisen, of course, and that was a unbelievable conversation when it comes to Hunter S. Thompson and some of the questions I wanted to ask, like, you know, how close? And the one that he said, do you guys remember him saying this? Like, somebody he trusted really closely in the NFL the night before the NFL draft said, you got to take that Leaf kid. Boy, would they have made a mistake, huh?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, this is always, like, people said, maybe you would have went there, it would have been different. I said, hey, guys, I was still me. All right?
Yeah.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Exactly.
And my brother said the same thing on the phone last night. He's like, if I would have went somewhere, if I'd have went here, or Anna said yesterday, like if I would have went to USC instead of Georgetown to play volleyball, you know, maybe things would have been different because it would have different coaches, different experiences. And I was like, yeah, but I was kind of the
common denominator.
I was kind of the common denominator. If I would have led the league in interceptions like Peyton did his rookie year, I would have been a mess. You know, I was already a mess, but imagine being like having thrown the most interceptions ever in the league. You know, that would have, during that year, that would have been heartbreaking for me. Yep. I don't know how I would have handled that.
Yeah, Peyton threw 28 his first season in Indy.
I threw 15, but I only threw 2 touchdowns. That is not a very good ratio.
Who'd you throw them to?
The touchdowns?
Yeah, do you remember?
Brian Still in week 1, Michael Ricks in week 6 or 7 against Seattle. Mm-hmm. So I only won 4 games, people. I was 4-17 as a starter. Not great, but 4 more than most people have won in the NFL.
Four more than me.
Yeah. I beat Doug Flutie. Oh, what was his name? What was the guy that came in for Doug Flutie in the playoff game? Started the
Rob Johnson.
So it was Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson in that first win against Buffalo. Week 2 at Tennessee, beat Steve McNair.
Right.
Oh. That is
future MVP.
Future MVP of the league. That was Eddie George. A few weeks later, the Philadelphia Eagles and Rodney Peete.
Oh man,
took down Rodney Peete.
Speaking of USC,
and then. In year 3, because year 2 was knocked out because of injury, in year 3, Warren Moon and the Kansas City Chiefs came to town, and I put a whooping on the old man, the old Husky.
Put a whooping on Warren Moon.
Yep. He was 48 at the time, probably, I'm thinking.
So, hold on a second. I'll tell you right now.
It was a good game. You know, threw a couple touchdowns. You know, I was feeling myself. Had a chance to beat Elway and Gus Frerotte in Mile High Stadium in that year 3. We were up, I think, 35 to, I don't know. I had thrown 3 touchdowns and over 300 yards, and Gus Frerotte made a triumphant comeback to beat us at Mile High Stadium that day. That would have been.
He didn't headbutt the wall then? And then?
He may have. He may have. That might have got them over the top. I don't know. But it's always fun to be on the show.
Hey, we're glad to have you back, man.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are. I get here early. I'm like the I'm the first one here today. Yeah, I'm like sitting in the parking lot. I'm like, where's all my buddies? I want to talk sports. this year of the pandemic has made me like, you know, crave you. It's a longing.
I mean,
feeling
no one
now.
Craves me.
I crave you. I crave you too.
Thanks.
So last time I guest hosted the show before the whole pandemic, right? I brought a friend. Over to watch the show,
yeah.
Sully.
And
as Sully does, I don't want to say gloms, but he attaches himself. He's such a good person. Mm-hmm. And now all 3 of you,
Our buddies with him.
You're like on your text threads, you're just hanging out and everything like that. Well, what Sully does for me every year, and it's so sweet, right? So every year I'll get an Amazon package in the mail. Now he is, of course, big time, and he's flying off to Puerto Vallarta this morning.
High roller.
Okay.
High roller. But he sends me this package every year right around April 1st. And I don't know if I've told this to the audience or you guys, but April 1st, 2012 is my sober date. So we're a week from yesterday. And we don't count our chickens. You know, I know the next 6 days are going to, you know, I got to do the next right thing, everything like that. But he sends me this, and it's the coolest thing. And I brought it today, and it's really cool. It's my 9-year sober chip.
That is awesome.
And what happens a lot of times when you get this thing, you observe it for the day, and then you put it in a drawer, you know, and it collects dust and everything like that. What I do with them is I put them in my golf bag, and it becomes my ball mark. And Chris has seen this.
I've seen it, yeah.
From when we played together. So it's a reminder, and I see it every single day, or every day I play golf, you know, probably 18 times around, you know, when I mark my ball. And, you know, I'm thankful for him and for a ton of people. I did an interview with Jay Glazer a few years back, and he made a point to me or a comment to me about, Ryan, there are a lot of people here because of you. And it's hard. I don't comprehend it that way, because my answer simply back to him was, is I'm here these last 9 years, and I'm here because of a lot of people. All three of you in this room, Rich Eisen in particular, Don Bowie out there, every opportunity I get to come back here and host this, I mean, there's a pep in my step. When I get here, when I leave, I like to be busy in my sobriety, and the pandemic has been incredibly difficult. A lot of isolation. You have to live in a lot of gratitude, and I think I took 2021 as a year to kind of take some of that control back. No matter what, we control what we do with our day. When we wake up, we can decide whether or not to be happy or not. We can just smile in the mirror. I had somebody tweet me yesterday about my time on the show and said they really thought it was great. I was a natural. Smile more. And there's a point to that. Like, you know, when I smile, there's something about it. I look at myself in the screen here, and I think it carries a message to those who are watching. And I've had a radio producer tell me too, smile when you're telling things. People can hear it through the radio what your mood is if you smile when you're making commentary on the radio. So everybody listening on Westwood One can tell I'm in a good mood as well. And I definitely am. So again, you know, wonderful, wonderful show ahead of us. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network, data analysis and, you know, just guru, analytics guru. James Worthy, LA Lakers team analyst and future Hall of Famer. Tim Legler from ESPN and Kevin Connolly from Entourage fame. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf. We'll be right back.
Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at The Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Rich Eisen Show. I am Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich today. TJ Jefferson, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman, hanging with me, making this thing maybe the easiest guest hosting gig there is. But this woman who's up next makes football analysis look very, very easy when it's not. The data side of everything. Her name is Cynthia Freeland. She is from the NFL Network, data and analytics expert for the NFL Network, as well as her own Clubhouse numbers game, which I think is just dynamic. A lot of people check her out for that analysis. We'd like to welcome Cynthia this morning early on to talk a little NFL. Morning, Sin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Brockman, I haven't seen you and talked to you in so long.
Hey, what's happening?
I love your cute baby.
How you been?
My favorite to watch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody loves Brockman's cute baby because it's kind of like
the cutest baby on the planet.
It's a baby version of Brockman. That's why, you know.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
You know, no
he's
hair.
He's got more hair than I've got. Yeah. I mean, come on.
He's definitely yours.
So, we've watched kind of this offseason play out. Of course, the discussion has been around Wilson and Watson. Where will they go? But really, the true numbers laid out with free agent quarterbacks that were kind of under the radar. How do you think free agency has played out in terms of the quarterback position so far this NFL offseason?
So first, I don't think we're done. I think we're going to see some. I think Deshaun Watson lands in a different spot. I think we might see some other things just totally come out of left field. Some interesting big names that I'm hearing are maybe on the move, or at least potentially being explored being on the move, that I hadn't heard about until just about 2 weeks ago. So I don't think we're done yet. But I do think that it's been fun to see. I like where Cam landed. I think it's a great fit for the Patriots. Brockman, I know. We can talk. And then I really like where Ryan Fitzpatrick is. I think that's going to be interesting, too. I think Washington's the team to beat in that division. And right now, I know that Dallas is, like, kind of, according to some people, listed as, like, you know, the team that's going to win the division. But I think it's Dallas's. I think it's Washington's to lose.
You know, you referenced there early on some big moves. I mean, could you kind of give us maybe a little bit of a hint of what you're hearing, possibly?
You know, you saw a lot of people restructuring their contracts in order to accommodate the lowered salary cap. And that's interesting because you kind of need to do that for many teams because we all know, like, cap dynamics are, like, pretty much, like, this weird, like, black box of, you know, a lot of different things that no one understands. Like, what's harder to understand, how the NFL cap works or what an NFT is. So those two things are kind of on par for me right now. But ultimately, you know, you haven't seen some guys restructure that you thought would. You know, I just anywhere that a big-name guy that's not Patrick Mahomes or – you know, anyone that's, you know, because he just did his deal last year, but anyone that's a big name that hasn't restructured, I'm just a little like, what are we looking at here? That's what I've been hearing at least.
What do you think about the Tyreek Hill comments about how I signed a contract and isn't willing during a salary cap strapped year to accommodate the Chiefs who have really stood by him? Was that interesting to hear happen, or are more players apt to do that when these restructuring asks are made?
In all honesty, I think that shows a reflection of Tyreek's need to have representation that can help him understand how things work a little better, because the cap will go up next season. So allowing some flexibility this season kind of gives you a better opportunity to, you know, you can restructure in a lot of different ways. You can reflect a greater increase next season, for example. But I think what you're seeing here is potentially one of the pitfalls of not having representation that, you know, I don't know who his representation is, but I think he's not necessarily with ones that have helped him the most. So I think that, you know, I think that he maybe this reflects a misunderstanding between what the ask is and what the potential outcomes are.
We're talking to Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network analytics expert, numbers game on Clubhouse as the host there as well. You released your mock draft 1.0 a little while back. I wanted to kind of go through that with you because you took a view from it from a different angle, and that was what these teams needed in terms of getting more wins the next season. And I had an honest to God question for you in the past, and you enlightened me on why these things are, but I think our viewer would like to know too. Why don't teams draft this way anyway? Because don't they want to win more games? What's the point? And your answer back was interesting. I think our viewers will take a lot into that.
Sure. So we created a mock that was, because a lot of people, like, so first of all, most people, insiders, say, like, they have to do a mock based on, they kind of call around. It's more what they're hearing. They're reporters. They're trying to get it right so that a fan base can be like, okay, we're really looking at so-and-so or not. But we took a different approach, like when I'm talking to my editors and how the analytics mock would go, because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to have to call people for that, because the analytics people are not, they don't make that decision. So a lot of times what we did was figure out, like, all right, a lot of times, like, what would get you the wins in 2021? There's free agency out there. Remember, this draft, the Mock 1.0, came out prior to free agency starting. I'll update it next week, and with once the free agents are there. But a lot of times, people are in different, coaches and front office members are in different cycles of their potential contracts. Some have continuity, like the Patriots, and so they can take a year like last year and rebuild. Other people, they don't have that luxury. They get maybe two seasons at the most to prove who they are. So they've got to take their risk with a quarterback or not, right? And then they have to take their risk with their pass rusher or not. And it's kind of dealing with the legacy contracts of what was left to them before, the mess they're in now. I mean, the Lions are going to be terrible, and they're not making great decisions left and right. But they have a little bit more rope, because it's not necessarily that they're asked to win in 2021. Though I would argue that you probably want to try to select for more wins than you think, because it's very hard to build a culture and rebuild a culture of, like, keep losing, keep losing, keep losing. So at the end of the day, it's trying to navigate where people are in their front office climate. And by the way, the other thing that stinks about any analytics draft, I would want to make a trade at almost every position to get it, like super, like, to match the value really well, like the stock market would with a price. But we said no, they would lose their mind trying to edit that if I traded out every position. So that's how it worked out.
We're talking to Cynthia Freeland, from NFL Network, analytics expert, numbers game on Clubhouse host as well. Take a look at that. The Russell Wilson talk. So I got a lot of backlash on Wednesday, because I didn't think he was going anywhere. We had an expert on telling me that there's a good possibility, because of the friction still between him and Pete Carroll, that could be a possibility. Jeff Darlington from ESPN surprised me a little bit and said there's a good possibility that this move could still happen this offseason. If not, for sure next season. Now, I can understand a year from now, but, you know, the talk continues. Is it just a media concept, or are you hearing something? And is that still a possibility for somebody like the Bears or some other team out there that could look to make a trade to get Russell Wilson this season?
I don't know about the Bears. They don't seem to have enough juice to be able to get a guy like Russell Wilson. But I do think anyone who's a big name who hasn't renegotiated their contract to help their team out, except for Patrick Mahomes, because he signed that really team-friendly deal, I don't think that anything's safe or finalized until the kind of restructures come in. I think if you're not restructuring, you're not necessarily safe yet. You're not safe to think that's your quarterback yet. Am I speaking in double speak well enough? My codified language, not good. I'm a math person, not a like attempted reporter. I'm not trying to report anything, but I do think that if you haven't restructured, it is still a possibility.
All right, so give us Bills fan or Bears fans out there some hope with Andy Dalton. How did you like that move from Dallas as a free agent to be QB1 now in Chicago?
Certainly not sexy, and their Twitter account can say he's QB1, but I don't know if I believe it at all. I mean, we've seen their Twitter account say it before. Also, I think most people know, like, the people who run the social in teams, they're not, like, sitting with the GM. Like, I don't think Ryan Pace called up the Twitter person, like, hey, 23-year-old that runs our Twitter account, please post this. So, you know, it is what it is. I think we'll still see some things move around. I don't think the Bears are done yet by any stretch of the imagination. And I think they got to take a swing, because I don't think they have a lot of rope left there. I mean, Ryan Pace made some interesting trades. The Trubisky one didn't work out, obviously. And so I think they're on the chopping block. So I think when people are on the chopping block, they have to take bigger swings.
We're listening to Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. You gave Brock Shady here, Chris Brockman, a little high five with the Cam Newton signing. You liked that. Tell us why you liked that. I was surprised by it. I thought he looked a sham of himself or a shell of himself late in the year. To see him come back, that surprised me a little bit. Why was that a good signing for you?
Well, first of all, it's the return on investment. So, number one, before COVID hit, he was looking great. I mean, people were like there were Patriots fans can be hilarious, and they were like, he's going to be the MVP, like, after week two.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a $100 million contract after 3 weeks.
After the Seahawks game, for sure, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
I loved that. That was so fun. I love a good overreaction. But so I don't think he's done yet. They also reinforced their O-line. Sure, they lost Joe Tooney to the Chiefs, but okay, they reinforced most of their O-line. They got two tight ends, one in line, one outside, and you can interchange those two. That's great. They're kind of reloading in a lot of different ways. They're setting it up for a more mobile and to take advantage of the mobility of Cam Newton, but also they're leaving themselves open. His contract was peanuts. It wasn't very big at all. So they're able to take what they've got left over from that, and they can do a lot of different things. They have tons of flexibility, and that's really what you want to do. Your backup plan, it's just like everything else. Like, if Cam Newton is your potential backup plan, like, you could bring in one of these rookies and train said rookie. You have so much flexibility, and by the way, you got so much better in free agency just all around. So you're really, like, it's just kind of nothing but upside. And by the way, I was looking on the powers that be, because, you know, Rich and I like to talk about things like that. The powers that be. Where are we getting these numbers? I don't know, but Rich and I love it, and it's Rich's show, so we got to say, like, right now, some people don't think the Patriots will make the playoffs. And I say, what? I think you should go tell those people that that's not true, and you should tell them, you know, the same way we tell them on game day morning.
Well, that would be an interesting AFC East if the Patriots are back in the mix this year. When I saw the contract, and at first when it was announced, like all headlines, you know, $14 million, I was like, it's a lot of money for a guy that looked like he was really struggling down the stretch. But we'll see. They can make a lot of moves. What they do have to do, and I would expect you would agree with me, is that this draft is incredibly important because of how they've missed the last few years in the April draft with players like N'Keal Harry and the two tight ends they drafted a year ago, because they had to go out and get two tight ends in free agency this year.
See, I would say that what they've done this year more than ever, there's so much uncertainty with the draft because you don't know what you're getting from these players. Right. You didn't have a regular season last year. Many of what we believe are the consensus top players didn't even play last season. They opted out. So, and which may or may not be smart. We have no idea. There's no data to support that. But what the Patriots did was they signed just like they normally do. They did spend more money than they usually do. But what the Patriots do so well is they take a player who we all perceive to be average or maybe a bit above average, but then in their system, they outperform all of their contract needs. So they take the average guys, use them in a way that makes them play above averagely. That's good English. And then ultimately win because they're just surprising us with people we didn't even think about. So they kind of made it so that the draft is less important for them. It's all upside at this point. And they're not picking high enough to, like, really take a big swing and a miss, because unless you're picking in, like, the top five or you're going to trade up to the top five, we have no idea this season. It's going to be trickier than ever. And we don't know many seasons. There's no surefire thing. Like, we can pretend that we think that Trevor Lawrence is the best thing ever, but until he starts playing and gets in the system and understands and learns, like, who knows, right? Until it happens, it happens. And there's no such thing as a sure thing. So I think what they've done is really smart. They've minimized all of the downside of the draft and turned it into all upside. And I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I'm a really big fan of their strategy this offseason.
Well, that's good to hear for Patriots fans out there. I got a couple questions left for Cynthia Freeland here from the NFL Network before we get you out of here. One, TJ here is a diehard Cowboys fan. There has to be some analytics around, you know, major injuries and coming back. They just gave him a back, you know, the Cowboys gave him a back-breaking contract, $160 million. What are the analytics around Dak Prescott coming back and being effective for this team?
Tell me something good, Cynthia.
You know, I didn't know I was going to be able to talk about joints today, but I love it. Dak Prescott has one of those bodies. Like, you know, look, there's a lot of you can aggregate injury data, but we all know that, like, if I get injured and if you, I'm like 5'6", like, and I don't weigh as much as you. So if I get injured and you get injured, we're going to have different recovery rates, opportunities. If someone 300 pound hits me, that's going to feel different than if they hit you, et cetera. So if you look at what Dak's body is like, he has, like, the perfect body to come back from an injury really strong. He's got thicker base, meaning he's got, like, more muscular legs, hips, knees, ankles. And he's really got that, like, nice, like, he's not as fragile, right? A Teddy Bridgewater has a more fragile base. He has a more fragile, he's built more petite. I'm not saying he's petite. It's not there's nothing, I'm not using that in the pejorative. He has thinner joints. Dak Prescott has thicker joints. I know because actually one of my best analytics people in like the entire world works for the Cowboys. And one of the reasons, remember, we all didn't think Dak was going to be this monster getting this contract when he was coming out of college. My guy told me, this guy has the best ankles, hips, and knees we've seen. He's in great shape to be able to, you know, sustain some hits, even though we have a good O-line. You know, like it's this is a guy who can keep on getting hit and is more durable. So that's a really strong indicator for success in coming back from injury. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean it's right. It just means he has a higher probability of success than other people because of his build. And, you know, that just gives him a better – he'll have to do the work and obviously his rehab, and we all assume he's going to do that, right? But just his natural God-given body structure gives him an advantage.
There you go, Cowboys fan. TJ, you feel good about that?
I didn't expect to be talking about Dak's joints today, but hey, I'm here.
You watch him in pregame doing that little hip turn.
Yeah, the
hip
little thing. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, Cynthia's put me at ease a little bit. I'll say that.
Well, let's go down south a little bit further. New Orleans. You know, does the analytics bear out for Taysom Hill as the guy, or maybe a rejuvenated Jameis Winston? Where's it looking there for the Saints quarterback position?
So luckily it's Sean Payton who figures it out. Do I think, like, if I were talking about fantasy football, I don't want to touch anyone on this team, or maybe even like many of their past. I don't know how to navigate this one yet. I do think Sean Payton will cook something up that we will all find very interesting. Probably not necessarily like the one quarterback Taysom Hill situation, not necessarily the Jameis Winston situation, because we know who Jameis is. He's shown us he's got pluses and he's got minuses. And what Sean Payton and coaches like Sean Payton can do are create opportunities for those pluses to be accentuated and the minuses to be sort of, you know, cushioned. And it doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean it's right. I don't know exactly how it's all going to net out there. This could be a trickier year to be a Saints fan just in general, but you always knew it would be after Drew Brees. There's always going to be like some sort of difference and drop off, but I think it's going to be interesting and fun to watch. I don't know how effective it'll be in that division when you've got you've got Tom Brady in that division, and, you know, maybe Carolina will do something interesting. You know, we don't know who Carolina's quarterback's going to be, so they could come out and surprise us, but I'll be interested to see how it goes. But I think in that division, I think it could be less of a sure thing for the Saints to make the playoffs.
All righty. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network, analytics expert. Tell us a little bit about your new Clubhouse show, how people can view, how people can be a part of it, and talk to us a little bit about it.
So every Thursday, 10 a.m. On the West and 1 p.m. on the East. And basically, like, I'm trying to talk about, like, we'll talk about football because that's my home, but also talk about all the numbers that you need to know and you can use for the week. So next week we'll get into some Masters, and so maybe my friend Ryan Leaf will come on and talk to me about who he likes in golf and relate it to numbers. We did a bunch of tournament numbers and free agency kind of fallout this past week. Some great different guests from different sports, just because I've got all these numbers and they're flying around, and, you know, somebody should make good use of them if I can't.
Well, good. I will. I'll definitely pay attention to that if you're going to get into the Masters talk. I have talked to Rich Eisen about this. Chris Brockman and I going down as analysts at Augusta every year to be on site.
Perfect.
You know, I think it's a perfect fit. So I appreciate
who wouldn't love that?
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like you could set up at a hole and like you could, you know, interview like some of the people that walk by. You could just like ask them random questions, because I know that Chris Brockman's super funny and people like super kind of unexpected things like come out of his mouth. So that would be great.
I'd get his better half to give me to write me some roasts.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody. Cynthia Freeland.
Show with her last year. Favorite.
Cynthia Freeland, everybody, from the NFL Network. Thanks again, Sin.
Anytime.
Take care, Sin.
She's great. I've had her on my show a couple times, and she just talks circles around everybody when it comes to football. Now, some of us are naturalists. You know, I think I'm speaking Big Lebowski terms here. I'm a naturalist. I don't know what that means. I'm not huge into the science data analytics side of things. I kind of go with the feel. I think you're similar that way, aren't you, Brockman?
Feel. It's all about gut.
It's all about gut, right? Tiger's not winning the Masters next week, right? Gut reaction.
He's not playing. He's not. I don't even think he's playing.
No. He'll be watching. We're going to head to commercial in a minute, but if you can give us a call at 844-204-RICH, let's talk everything NFL. Let's talk anything life. Let's have a conversation today. Thanks to Rich Eisen. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf. We'll be right back.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich this week. Dan Helly was in earlier this week. Yep. Kirk Morrison. How's it gone so far, guys? How are we all doing? TJ Jefferson here, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman.
Yeah, it's great been a awesome.
Week, man.
It's been a great week.
Yeah?
It's like substitute teacher. You know what I mean?
And it's also kind of what you touched on earlier. Like, I tell these guys all the time, it's hard to say in the morning that we're going to work.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to a building and we sit and we chop it up with our friends for a few hours. But I'm hesitant to ever call this work.
I was up at 5:30 this morning, boys, and I was like laying there in bed going, all right, I know I don't have to be there for 2.5 hours probably. What should I do? So I went for a little hike.
Listened to some music. Wow.
In the dark. Florence and the Machine, for whatever reason right now, is just ruminating through me right now.
Okay.
Ship to Wreck, you know, Shake It Out. I was.
Look at you.
I got love me some Florence this morning.
Saw her in concert in like 2011.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I saw her at New Year's. It was the New Year's Eve.
I got a good New Year's Eve story. So we're in Vegas. 1999.
I mean, a Vegas New Year's Eve story.
Oh, boy. 98 can never go wrong.
98 to 99, right? So it wasn't Y2K. It was the year before. We're in Vegas with the MGM Grand. My little brother's with me. Jeffrey is a 19-year-old at college at San Diego State at the time, so he's loving this. So we're at, I forget what the name of the club was at the MGM Grand, but Prince is performing the night, of course. Like, you know, party like it's 1999, right? So that was the big thing. Well, the group from NSYNC shows up. My brother goes and hangs with Justin and the whole crew, and I don't see my brother again, the 19-year-old, the whole night.
What?
It's
doing
like
thing.
It's like 10 in the morning the next morning, and he comes rolling in and he looks at me like dead serious, looks at me and goes, I think I'm in the band. He has a lot of those stories. He used to frost his tips of his hair. He looked very much like Mark McGrath.
And Mark McGrath.
And
oh, my God.
I don't know how many Vegas trips when I was in the league that he hooked up with women who thought he was Mark McGrath. He never corrected them. Never. I'm kind of putting him on blast here. But
kind of.
I mean, this is great.
I think the beneficiary of my football celebrity my brother.
And your dad.
Well, apparently my dad too.
Dad.
But he didn't look like anybody. He didn't hook up with any other women. But I think Jeff was really like the beneficiary of the celebrity.
Is that your brother who played at Oregon?
Yeah. No. This is the middle one. This is the one that played basketball at San Diego State and who's an actor.
Oh, okay.
He lives here in LA now. And
you have a brother who's an actor? I did not know this.
Yeah, he's the middle one. He kind of gets...
What's he been in? Anything we've seen?
Pirates of the Caribbean. He was, you know, Dirty Pirate.
Okay.
Nice. He's been killed every which way you can imagine on all the CSIs.
All right.
He actually, in rehearsal, got his nose broken by Gary Sinise one time in the CSI New York.
Wow.
CSI Miami got shot right between the eyes.
Crusoe did it?
Nope. Oh. It was later on. It was I can't remember the kind of shorter blonde girl who was in the West Wing for a while, too.
Maria.
Can't remember her name, but she shot him right in the forehead.
That's so awesome.
He did a movie with William Dafoe down in Louisiana.
Whoa.
They took over Angola prison and like filmed scenes in there. My brother had to do he does a bunch of comedy stuff too. I mean, he's whenever I need to laugh, I call him up. He makes me laugh. People do not believe I'm the funny one in the family because of him. But I tell people all the time that like I'm the funny one in our family. All right. He does it for a living, you know? So that's just how he is. But we had a lot of fun. I mean, he was a young kid, right? I mean, he wasn't even 21 yet, and we were running roughshod the Leaf Boys. He was at San Diego State playing basketball. I was a San Diego Charger.
Wow.
Yeah. I utilized him too, though. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, he had like contacts from, you know, young co-eds at San Diego State that I got to spend some time with.
I was going to say, did he go to San Diego State because you were in San Diego?
No,
or is that just how it worked out?
He always wanted to go there. I was able to kind of grease the skids a little bit when I signed, I guess.
Sure.
I guess is the terminology. And then he went and lived in Ocean Beach and Pacific Beach.
Amazing.
The entirety of his
Amazing.
Time there.
Wow. One of
I mean,
the
what
best
a,
places
what a great
in the world.
College experience.
Yeah.
Now, there's different kind of college experiences, right? You go to San Diego State and you live on the beach and do stuff like, or you go to Pullman, where I did, Washington State, everybody.
Shout out
here.
Yeah.
Shout out Washington
my
State.
My Bane, Washington State, mask to keep everybody safe and healthy. Where it's just a town, like small town, like the town wouldn't exist unless the college was there. So there's just different kind of college experiences. That was his. And, you know.
If you could do it all over again, would you have gone somewhere else? Like, who else was in the recruiting hop for you?
So I visited Miami. I've told you that story, right? Where like I'm on my recruiting trip to Miami and I get into the limo that takes us to the Dan Marino's Bar and Grill, and who's sitting in there? This very large Polynesian guy. His name's Dwayne.
I don't know if I've heard this.
No, we haven't heard this. Come.
Yeah. So Dwayne Johnson is we're going to talk about this in the next hour after we have a couple guests, but
Wayne
this is a good story.
Johnson.
All right. It's my recruiting trip to Miami. I'm this corn-fed country boy from Montana wearing cutoff jeans and a flannel, and I'm in South Beach being recruited by Dennis Erickson and the national champion Miami Hurricanes. So this is a bit of a tease. We need to get into this later.
Okay,
this is
a story that we need to hear.
Are you going to pop up on an episode of Young Rock? That's all I want to know.
I wonder if Dwayne remembers me. I doubt it. I mean, I didn't know who he was at the time, right? He was just this big backup defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
we're gonna get into that in the second hour. But when we come back, we got Tim Legler. Or who we got? We got James Worthy next, right? Big Game James is next. You know, got him to come on the show yesterday while playing a little golf.
How about that?
Yeah, he's a fun one. He's gonna fill us in a lot with what's going on with the Lakers. Four losses since LeBron left, 80s absence. Is this a team that continues to fall in the rankings? And where do, you know, because right now everybody's talking about, I heard Kirk Morrison yesterday talking about how he believes, you know, it's the Nets and the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers are an afterthought right now in my mind. I mean, it would be great to see that, but right now they're an afterthought. So I'm going to ask Big Game James about that when we come back. Also, Tim Legler in hour two, and then in hour three, Kevin Connolly. From Entourage fame. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf. We'll be right back.